Hello, this is Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for December the 8th, 2017. And I'll start with the first article with the headline, Card with Meth Ecstasy Found in Tilton. Dateline Tilton. On Wednesday, a card touting white supremacist beliefs was left on a woman's windshield at the Big R Farm Supply Store in Tilton. The card tested positive for methamphetamine and ecstasy, according to the Tilton Police Department. Hannah Darr was driving when she noticed the business-sized card stuck under her windshield wiper. Once home, she picked up the card that read, Why White Women Shouldn't Date Black Men, Black on White Crime. I wasn't going to give it the time of day, Darr said, shortly after she began to feel dizzy and disoriented. I just assumed I was tired, Darr said, noting this is a busy time of year for her family's farm. Then my mother was handed the card, and a few minutes later she was dizzy. That's when she said they put two and two together. At first, Darr said she was reluctant to tell anyone about the card because she didn't want to give attention to a hate group. My mother reminded me that we have a lot of friends who are women and who have children, she said. Darr made a post on Facebook explaining what happened with photos of the card. She wrote, Everyone please be careful, especially women who appear to be alone. Her post has since been shared more than 800 times. Darr was then contacted by Tilton Police Captain Ryan Scholl. After dropping off the card at the department, officers did a field test where traces of meth and ecstasy were found. In a press release, Scholl said, Please note that field tests do not always have 100% accuracy. The card will be sent to the Illinois State Crime Lab for further testing. Darr said she couldn't believe it when police officers told her the results. I thought it was in my head. I hoped and prayed they wouldn't get any tests back positive, she said. I can't believe this would happen in Vermilion County. After calling Big R to inform them of the situation, the store told Darr that a man went through a cashier's line and gave her the same card. Tilton police are viewing the store's video footage. Darr said she doesn't believe she was targeted for a specific reason other than she's a woman who appeared to be alone. Her father was with her, but they walked into the store separately. I want to make sure other people are safe. I'd hate to see that happen to a single mother with kids in the back seat, and she starts to feel disoriented while driving, she said. Tilton Police Chief David Cornett said he has never heard of a situation like this happening before. I believe this is one individual, he said. The best thing to do is, when you see stuff like that and you think it's dangerous, get something close to pick it up. Please contact police. And the next article has the headline, DSO Celebrates Holidays at Home. Dateline Danville. Concert goers will get a triple treat Saturday, a chance to hear the Danville Symphony Orchestra, enjoy the cabaret duo of Menzie and Michael, and delight in Danville High School's Delegation Show Choir. The program, Home for Christmas, will start at 7:30 p.m. in Dick Van Dyke Auditorium at Danville High School. With music director Jeremy Swirling in charge, the orchestra will perform holiday favorites such as What Child Is This?, Baby It's Cold Outside, Let It Snow, Hallelujah, The Christmas Song, Oh Holy Night, Do You Hear What I Hear, White Christmas, Most Wonderful Time of the Year, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and more. It's going to be a fabulous concert, Swirling said. It's going to be chock full of all the great numbers. Some numbers have been custom arranged for special guests. Chicago cabaret entertainers Becky Menzie and Tom Michael. The duo offers imaginative musical twists on jazz favorites, standards, contemporary pop, Broadway show tunes, and film gems. Their latest CD is Better To Spell T-W-O Together. Hear a clip of the couple singing on the DSO Facebook page. Menzie said in a telephone interview, It's going to be wonderful. We love this holiday show. There's something really joyous about it. The program will not be a recital, she said. Instead, the duo's warmth and ebullient sense of joy for the holidays will come through. Menzie said she loves the season and the music, saying, "There's something about the spirit of the holidays. It reminds us of family, even if it's a family of friends." The program, she said, is going to give people a chance to feel the joy and spirit of the holidays. Live music can make us feel something. She and Michael, who have been described as having a musical marriage, not an actual one, take simple holiday songs and give them a fresh twist. She's also delighted about sharing the program with the DHS teens. Most students don't get a chance to sing with an orchestra, she said. "We've never shared the stage with a high school show choir," she said. "We're both excited about it." The delegation members are enthusiastic as well, said DHS choral director Jeffrey Thomas. "They get to perform with a full orchestra," he said. "It will sound like it does in a recording. It's exciting." Delegation members who sing and dance will join the orchestra for four numbers and will do one alone a cappella. Delegation will sing additional Christmas favorites along with selections from popular movies such as the 1990 movie Home Alone. The symphony has worked with the area choruses at high school and middle schools over the years, Swirling said, adding, "We love to do it. It's a great opportunity for the students." Founded in 2000, Delegation is a mixed ensemble comprised of 49 young men and women in grades 9 to 12. The youth make an annual commitment to regularly attend scheduled after-school and daily rehearsals. The school learns a high-energy and vocally challenging competition show in the fall to perform for competitions across the Midwest in the winter and spring. A prime rib buffet dinner at the Danville Country Club before the concert is open to the public. Cocktails at 4:30 p.m. and dinner at 5:30 p.m. Admission is $28. RSVP by calling the Country Club at 442-5213. The symphony is selling red poinsettias, which will decorate the concert stage and can be picked up after the contest. Those are $12, or delivered directly to your home for $30. Visit the symphony store on the DSO website or call the office to purchase. All proceeds benefit the Danville Symphony Orchestra. The performance has been underwritten by the Julius W. Hegler II Foundation as part of a gift recognized in perpetuity to support all future December DSO performances. And now an article with the headline, "Black Bear Open for Christmas. Bar and Grill Offers Free Dinner, Hope, Company to Homeless for the Holiday." Dateline Danville. While most restaurants and taverns will be closed on Christmas, one local bar will be opening its doors to feed the homeless. The Black Bear Bar and Grill at 1902 West William Street in Danville is hosting a free dinner from 1 to 5 p.m. December 25th for homeless people, as well as those who will be alone on the holiday. "Christmas is all about providing a little hope," said Harvey Dove, whose wife Jamie has owned the business since July 2015, and for some people that's all they need to turn their life around. "The dinner will feature turkey, ham, and all the traditional holiday fixings," said bartender Marie Crane. "No alcohol will be served at that time." Since the Black Bear sits just west of the city, the business is partnering with Mr. Taxi to provide free rides to those who want to attend from the Danville Post Office, 303 North Hazel Street. "They will also take them back," bartender Marie Crane said. Harvey Dove is a veteran Danville police officer. He said he got the idea when he went to work one morning and saw a homeless woman named Tammy. "She sleeps in the public service building," Dove said. "I thought, gosh, this lady isn't going to have anywhere to go on Christmas. I came back and told Marie. Marie's a pretty tough lady, but she has a heart of gold. She picked it up and took it from there." "We call ourselves the Bear Family," Crane said, of the Doves and the eight employees. "We jumped on the idea. We're all going to be here to help." Dove said he also mentioned the idea to his three kids, ages 15, 13, and 11, expecting a little grumbling when he asked them to help out. "They loved the idea," he said. "Because this is the first year," Crane said, "she's not sure how many people to expect. But she wants to be prepared for anyone who walks through the door looking for a hot meal and company. If people would like to help," she said, "they can donate non-perishable food items or warm clothing, such as hats, gloves, scarves, or socks, to give to attendees between 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. "I'd love to give them a little gift," said Crane, who has already purchased some hats and gloves to get away. "I don't like to be cold." Meantime, Dove is trying to get the word out about the dinner. He plans to post flyers at the post office, Danville Public Library, and hospital emergency room, and ask his colleagues to spread the word. Crane says she hopes the Christmas meal becomes an annual event. There's an article with the headline, "Danville Officials Plan Cuts in Wake of Tax Fee Hikes." Dateline Danville. With a major property tax and fee increases on the way next year, Danville officials are turning their attention to restructuring city departments. Along with major revenue boosts for police and fire pensions, city government will also get leaner next year, at least in payroll. More than $300,000 in salaries and roughly $150,000 in benefits will be gone from next year's city budget, with the elimination of several positions. On Tuesday, aldermen approved higher taxes, a 10% property tax increase, and a hike in the monthly public safety fee solely dedicated to paying police and fire pensions. It's part of a 22-year plan to pay off the city's police and fire pension debt that's ballooned to more than $104 million and is now threatening the city's financial status. The tax increase from $2.04 per $100 of assessed valuation to $2.26 per $100 takes effect in next year's property tax cycle. And the increase in the public safety fee, which goes from $96 annually for residential properties to $267, and jumps to either to $600 or $1,020 for non-residential properties, takes effect in the spring. Also on Tuesday, aldermen passed a new city budget, effective May 1, that eliminates several city jobs. Normally, the city doesn't approve its annual budget until spring, but with some key revenue increases now locked in and a tentative budget already put together, Mayor Scott Eisenhower asked administration decided Mayor Scott Eisenhower said administration decided there was no reason to wait, and he said it allows work to be done now on restructuring in light of personnel cuts. The biggest changes will come in public works. Director Doug Ahrens is leaving this month to become the new director of the Danville Sanitary District. The city has decided not to replace Ahrens, whose annual salary is $111,129. Ahrens supervised the city's solid waste operations, parks, and public properties, as well as streets and sewers. Redistributing his duties among existing personnel will require changes. Eisenhower said he doesn't anticipate anything drastic, like privatizing garbage pickup or eliminating yard waste services, but he said all services performed by Public Works will be analyzed. Public Works Director is the highest paid and highest ranking position that ended up on the chopping block. Public Works Director is the... Danville will also do without a Superintendent of Community Improvements, a position held by Shelley Larson, probably best known for the plants, flowers, and landscaping she coordinated downtown and other parts of the city. Her annual salary is $55,577. Another position that won't be filled is Property Compliance Manager, most recently held by Samantha McCoy. That job paid $52,500, and McCoy helped manage the code enforcement cases. That position is very valuable, but one that we can't continue to afford, Eisenhower said. Next year's budget also includes reworking the deputy comptroller position. It's now a finance manager job with slightly different duties and less salary. The previous deputy, Shelley Scott, who resigned last month, made $53,455 a year. The salary range for the new position will be $42,000 to $47,000. And now for the obituaries. And the first is for Robert Bob Lee Branham, 72 of rural Vetersburg, who died on Tuesday, December 5th, 2017. Friends may call at the Mouse Funeral Home, Hillsboro, Indiana, on Saturday, December 9th, that's tomorrow, from noon until service time at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. He will be interred with his parents at a later date in the Rose Hill Cemetery, Hillsboro. Memorial contributions may be made to the Southeast Foundation Community Foundation. And the next is for William A. Swaney, Jr., 80, of Palm Bay, Florida, formerly of Covington, Indiana, who died on December the 4th, 2017. At Bill's request, there will be no memorial service. Contributions may be made in Bill's name to the organization of your choice. And the next is for Pauline Smock of Georgetown, who died on Thursday, December 7th, at Carroll Foundation Hospital, Urbana. As per her wishes, Pauline will be cremated and no services will be held. Sunsets Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, assisted her family with arrangements. And the next is for Donna Louise Moulton, who died on November 10th at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Crispin, Illinois. A memorial gathering of Donna's family and friends will be held on Sunday, December 10th from noon to 3 p.m. at the TPAC Credit Union Community Room, 1035 East Main Street, Danville. And the next is for Margaret Gilman, 82, of Covington, Indiana, formerly of Clinton, Indiana, who died on December 4th in Covington. Visitation will be noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time Friday at Frist Memorial Home, Clinton. Services will begin at 2 p.m. with Reverend Jason Dean officiating. Burial will be in Spangler Cemetery. And the next is for Bertha Lee Burt Massey, 76, of Peru, Indiana, who died on Wednesday, December 6th at home. Visitation for Bertha will be noon to 4 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday, December 9th at Eikenberry Eddy Funeral Home, 84 West Main Street, Peru, Indiana. Graveside services will be at 2 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday, December 10th at Rockfield Cemetery, Vetersburg, with a family friend, Bill Boone, officiating. Family and friends will gather at Chuck and Michelle's home about 5 p.m. Saturday and afternoon on Sunday at Steve and Kathy's home, 608 North Newland Avenue in Vetersburg. And now back to news articles. And the first one has the heading, County Schools Seek Sales Tax Increase. Dateline Danville. Cash-strapped school districts around Vermilion County have banded together to seek the public support this spring for a 1% countywide increase in the sales tax rate. The school boards of 10 Vermilion County school districts, not including Danville District 118, have voted to place the sales tax issue before Danville and Vermilion County voters in a referendum on the March 20th ballot. A law enacted in 2007 allows school districts representing 51% or more of a county's student population to seek approval to assess an Illinois County school facility tax of up to 1%, although local school districts haven't attempted to do so until now. Regional Superintendent Cheryl Reifstack said 48 counties in Illinois assess a county school facility tax, including Champaign, Edgar, and Douglas counties in central Illinois. Reifstack, she said, she received paperwork earlier this week from the last school board in Vermilion County, not including Danville District 118, to have voted on a resolution in support of bringing the county school facility tax issue before the voters. The school districts have until January 2nd to vote on the resolution and submit the supporting documents to Reifstack's office. Each school district sends me paperwork saying their school board passed the resolution, she explained. I have verified that the majority of enrolled students in the county are represented by the board of all the schools that passed the resolution. Next, Reifstack will certify the wording of the referendum question and file it with the Vermilion County Clerk and the Danville Election Commission. by January 11th so that the county school facility tax question appears on the March 20th ballot. Danville District 118 Board President Bill Dobble said his school board will not vote on the resolution to place the county school facility tax question on the March ballot. In fact, the other county school districts do not need Danville support because Dobble said District 118 does not serve the majority of students in the county. Only 46% of students in Vermilion County are in District 118. The rest of the 54% of students are in other districts in Vermilion County. There is no plan to vote on a double set of the resolution. They can put it on the ballot without us. If Danville and Vermilion County voters approve the sales tax hike in March, Danville District 118 stands to benefit the most by receiving about $2.5 million in new revenue each year. The amount of money a school district receives is based on its enrollment, Reifstek said. She said the Illinois Department of Revenue will direct the county school board school facility tax dollars to her office, where it would then be distributed to the local school districts on a per-pupil basis. Sure, we can use the money from the county tax, but we are in Danville, and the sales tax rate is already really high, Dobble said. We wouldn't refuse the money, but we can't, in good faith, raise taxes. District 118 Superintendent Alicia Geddes also shared Dobble's concern about raising Danville's sales tax rate. District 118 understands the county school's need for funding, but it would make Danville's sales tax comparable to Cook County's, she said. The 1% county school tax, school facility tax, would increase Danville's sales tax to 10.25% from 9.25%, making it the same amount as the sales tax charged in the city of Chicago and several Cook County suburbs. By comparison, the sales tax in both Champaign and Urbana is 9%. However, the idea behind raising the sales tax is that it's something everyone pays, including Vermilion County residents who don't own property and non-residents who visit or work in the county. Although Dobble said he is not opposed to the 1% county school facility tax, he cautioned, raising sales tax doesn't mean property tax will be lowered. It doesn't always happen. It's a different situation in Danville than the rest of the county. We're in a difficult position, he said. It's not a good time. It doesn't fit. It's a difficult time for our city. Just because it would be good for the school district doesn't mean it would be good for the community, Dobble said. We're kind of caught in the middle. Geddes fully said, we fully support the county schools in their effort to secure funding that is so desperately needed, but our Board of Education won't be voting on it. Reifstek said Danville District 118 could choose to vote on the resolution, but it wasn't necessary because the majority has already been established. The majority of students are enrolled in the county. If voters approve the sales tax increase in March, all goods and services that currently fall under the municipal and county sales tax base would start being charged at the higher sales tax rate effective July 1st. Exceptions from the higher sales tax rate would include licensed and titled vehicles, boats and RVs, mobile homes, unprepared food, drugs, including vitamins and over-the-counter medicine, and farm equipment and parts. Reifstek said school districts would be limited in how they use the proceeds from the 1% sales tax. The money can only be used on the improvement of schools and facilities, she said. Some examples she cited would include the construction of new facilities, additions, and renovations, handicapped accessibility projects, fire prevention work, health, life, and safety improvements, security improvements, roof repairs, parking lot work, energy and efficiency work, and technology infrastructure, as well as paying down existing debt, supporting new bond projects, and reducing property tax. School districts can use the funds to pay down existing bonds and therefore reduce property tax. It cannot be used for textbooks, furniture, or teacher salaries as outlined according to school code. Although Reifstek recognizes that seeking to increase the local sales tax will be a challenge, she believes the extra money will give a much-needed financial boost to Vermilion County school districts. It's very difficult to get a sales tax resolution passed, but we have aging school buildings that need to be taken care of, she said. And the next article has the headline, Committee Talks Roundabout Built Bridge Projects. Dateline Danville. A bid letting is expected in March by the Illinois Department of Transportation on possibly three local projects. The Danville Area Transportation Studies Technical Committee didn't have a quorum at its Thursday meeting, but members discussed upcoming projects and still moved some items to the DATS Policy Committee for action next week. Thomas Caldwell with IDOT said March bid lettings are expected on the roundabout at Jackson and English Streets and the Voorhees Bridge project in Danville, and possibly the second portion of the Illinois Route 1 Tilton project. The roundabout at Jackson and English Streets in Danville would finish the shared use project for Danville High School, DATS Director and Danville Engineering and Urban Services Director Danville Schnelli said. Schnelli also said the project estimated costs have increased for the Voorhees Street Bridge project over Stony Creek to $1.7 million for $1.4 million. The city has received federal major bridge funds for the bridge widening, replacement, and construction engineering. Increased costs have come with the detour, including right-of-way needed and addressing drainage issues involving Rogers and May Streets. If the project starts in the spring, it should be completed in the fall, Schnelli said. The bridge replacement project will cause Voorhees Street to be closed east of Spring Hill Cemetery near Collett Street. Up to about 10,000 vehicles travel that roadway daily. Committee members also learned there's been a delay with preliminary engineering for the sidewalk project along Webster Street. From Vermilion Street to Northview Drive in Catlin, the construction engineering and construction has been pushed back to fiscal year 2019. In other project updates, committee members discussed the solicitation period starting for planning and construction projects for federal dollars through DATS. Danville Planning and Urban Services Manager Chris Milliken said two projects the city is looking at for planning dollars is the Kickapoo Rail Trail connection from the Vermilion County Fairgrounds to Danville and also regional trails. Construction dollars could come into play, too, to provide utilities to the area where there aren't any now with the KRT connection. Schnelli said the city also may request additional funding for the Denmark Road Sanitary Sewer Project. Danville County Highway Engineer Doug Stasky said any county projects that could utilize federal funding are still to be determined. Stasky also said the county had a busy construction season this year, with one of the biggest projects being the repaving of West Newell Road. It's open to traffic. I think it was a good project, he said. Shelley said city projects are wrapping up for the year and winter. There will be some landscaping and striping and finishing touches on some projects in the spring. Now an article with the headline, Illinois Taxpayers to Pay Blended Rate for 2017 Income, Springfield. Illinois will be paying an in-between rate on 2017 income as the result of the state's tax increase. The Illinois Department of Revenue has calculated that the blended rate will be 4.35% for individual returns that are due in April, the State Journal Register reported. The basic tax rate increased in July from 3.75% to 4.95%. Department spokesman Terry Horseman said the rate is based on the number of days under the 3.75% and the dates under the 4.94% rate. This has been Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, December the 8th. I look forward to reading with you again soon.